A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's one of those prompts where the second you read it, you realize how many people are quietly dealing with the same thing, and nobody's talking about it. He's moving apartments, he's built up a serious home inventory system with tech gear and hobby equipment, and he wants to switch to a modular Eurobox setup. But he's got a toddler, and his current Ivar shelving has basically no ballast. The kid can pull boxes off the shelves, and that's not a risk they can take. So the question is, even assuming the new system gets anchored to the wall, what do you do to stop a child from grabbing at boxes? Locks, doors, covers, anything that works. And he's wondering whether industrial storage specialists have even thought about this, now that so many people are running businesses from home.
This is exactly the kind of problem where two worlds collide and neither one has fully noticed the other yet. You've got the Eurobox standard, DIN EN 1499, which was designed for warehouses and logistics centers. The entire philosophy is open front access, grab and go, maximum efficiency. Nobody in a fulfillment center in Dusseldorf in 1995 was thinking about what happens when a two-year-old discovers the bottom row of boxes.
The fulfillment center had different concerns, like forklift clearance.
And now you've got this massive shift toward home-based businesses. Global Workplace Analytics put out their 2025 update showing a 37% increase in people running businesses from home since 2020. That's millions of people with professional-grade inventory sitting in what used to be the guest bedroom or the corner of the living room. And many of them are also parents. The average age of first-time parents keeps rising, which means more people are established in careers or businesses before they have kids. So you've got serious equipment, serious storage, and suddenly a small human who treats the whole thing like a jungle gym.
The Ivar failure mode is the perfect starting point, because you anchor it, and you think you're done.
And anchoring is mandatory, no question. But here's what most people don't realize about the Ivar system specifically. Under the ASTM F25719 furniture tip-over testing standard, a two-year-old can generate roughly 15 to 20 kilograms of pull force. That's not theoretical. That's what they test for. And an Ivar unit at full height, 180 centimeters, loaded with boxes, has a very narrow base and almost no mass of its own. It's basically a pine ladder holding your inventory. A child pulling on a box at waist height can absolutely bring it down, even if some of the boxes are heavy.
Even if you bolt it to the wall, which is step one and non-negotiable, the boxes themselves are still sitting on open shelves. A toddler doesn't need to tip the unit to hurt themselves. They just need to pull a box off the bottom shelf and drop it on their foot, or pull out something heavy from above their head.
That's the misconception we should address right up front. Anchoring prevents tip over. It does nothing to stop box removal. A child can still slide out a Eurobox, dump the contents, climb on the empty box, use it as a step, or pull a box down onto themselves. The injury risk from falling objects inside the home is not trivial, and Euroboxes, by design, slide out easily. That's the whole point. They're not drawers with friction. They're modular containers designed for rapid access.
You've got open shelving that's grab-friendly by design. The question becomes, what layers do you add on top of that to make it child-resistant without destroying the reason you bought the system in the first place?
I'd frame this as three layers. Physical barriers, meaning doors or covers, mechanical locks, which can be per box or per shelf or per rack, and then behavioral and environmental design, which is layout, access control, where you put things. None of these alone solves everything, but layered together, they can make a system that's genuinely safe and still usable.
Let's start with locks, because that's where most people go first and where most of them get frustrated.
The fundamental problem with Euroboxes and locks is that standard Euroboxes, the basic plastic containers that conform to DIN EN 1399, have no built-in locking mechanism. The standard defines external dimensions. The base footprint is 600 by 400 millimeters, and heights come in variants of 120, 210, 280, 320, and 420 millimeters. That's it. The standard says nothing about lids, hasps, latch points, or security features, so you're starting from zero.
Unlike sustainer-style boxes, which have those integrated click-lock tabs.
Sustainers, Sortimo L boxes, those are proprietary systems built on top of the Euro footprint. They've got built-in latches that stack and lock together. But if you're using generic Euro boxes, which are far cheaper and more common, you've got an open-top container with a lip. That's your interface.
The aftermarket has to bridge that gap.
It does, but in ways that are mostly not designed for child safety. The most common solution is padlock hasps. You can buy retrofit hasp kits that clip or screw onto the lip of a Eurobox. They're meant for securing boxes during transport or in shared warehouse spaces. Low security, basically tamper-evident rather than tamper-proof. You put a small padlock through the hasp, and nobody can open the box without cutting the plastic or the lock.
Which a toddler isn't gonna do.
No, but a toddler also doesn't need to open the box to cause problems. They can still pull the whole box off the shelf. The lock keeps the contents secure, but the box itself is still removable. And padlocks on every box gets expensive and annoying fast if you're accessing these multiple times a day.
What about zip tie loops? I've seen people use those for low security scenarios.
You thread a zip tie through the hasp loop, and now the box is closed but not locked. It'll stop a curious toddler from opening the lid, probably, but it won't stop them from yanking the box out. And you have to cut and replace the zip tie every time you access the box. That's fine for long-term storage, terrible for daily use.
Per-box locks solve one problem, keeping the contents in, but they don't solve the removal problem. For that, you need something at the shelf level.
This is where the industrial world actually has an answer, even if it wasn't designed for kids. Sortimo, the German company, makes something called the K-Motion system. It's a central locking bar that runs vertically along the rack and engages all the boxes in that column. You turn a single lock at the top, and it slides a bar down through slots in each box or each shelf, physically preventing any box from being pulled out until the bar is retracted.
One lock for an entire column.
One lock, one motion. It's designed for work vans, actually. Tradespeople who don't want their tools sliding out while driving, or who want to lock everything when they park on a job site. But it works perfectly for childproofing a home rack. The cost, as of mid-2026, is roughly 80 to 150 euros per rack section, depending on the height and the number of locking points.
That's not nothing, but if you're running a business from home, and the alternative is your kid getting into 5,000 euros of camera gear, it's a rounding error.
It's tool-free and reversible. You're not modifying the boxes themselves. You're adding a locking bar to the rack frame. If you move or reconfigure, you take it off and reinstall it. The trade-off is that it reduces quick access convenience. You have to unlock the bar every time you want a box, and if you forget to lock it again, you've got no protection. It's a habit you have to build.
Which is where magnetic locks come in, because those are the ones marketed directly at parents.
This is the second big misconception. Magnetic cabinet locks, the kind from Safety First or similar brands, are designed for kitchen cabinets and bathroom drawers. They use a magnetic key to release a spring-loaded latch. They work beautifully on thin cabinet doors where the latch can mount on the inside face and the magnetic key activates through the door material.
They're cheap. $10 to $20 per lock.
They require a ferromagnetic surface to work, or at least a thin enough gap that the magnet can engage through it. Eurobox plastic edges are thick, typically 3 to 4 millimeters of polypropylene. Most magnetic locks can't trigger reliably through that, and even if they could, you're still mounting the latch on a shelf, not a door. The geometry is wrong.
The product that every parent knows about is basically useless for this application.
Unless you're mounting them on a door that covers the Eurobox rack, which we'll get to. But directly on the boxes or on open shelving? I've seen people try to use the 3M adhesive versions on metal shelf lips, and that can work if your shelving unit has steel uprights with a thin enough profile. But on a wooden or plastic rack frame, there's nothing for the magnet to grab.
What about sliding bolt locks? The kind you'd use on a gate or a shed door?
A simple slide bolt mounted to the shelf upright, positioned so it blocks the front edge of the box, prevents removal. You slide the bolt across and the box can't come out. It's crude but effective. The downside is, it's ugly. It requires drilling into your shelf uprights, and you have to install one per box or at least one per shelf. If you've got 24 boxes, that's a lot of slide bolts.
It looks like you're securing a storage unit in a bad neighborhood.
We're talking about home offices, often in living spaces. Aesthetics are not a secondary concern. If your partner takes one look at your childproofing solution and says it looks like a prison, you're probably going to be told to find something else.
This is the gap in the market you mentioned. Industrial storage companies have never had to think about this because their customers solve child safety with physical separation. Locked rooms, high shelving, warehouse floors that children never enter. Home businesses don't have that luxury.
It's starting to change. Bott and Lista, two of the big names in workshop and industrial storage, started offering child-safe drawer locks on their workshop cabinets as of 2025. These are soft, close drawers with integrated latches that require two distinct motions to open, similar to the push and lift mechanism on some medicine cabinets. They're not marketing it as a child safety feature explicitly, but the design language is unmistakable. They know their products are ending up in home garages and basement workshops where kids might be present.
The market is creeping towards solutions, but it's not there yet for open Eurobox racks.
That's why the most effective approach for most people is going to be adding a physical barrier.
Let's talk about sliding doors first. That seems like the obvious retrofit.
It's a clean solution. You build or buy a frame that mounts to the front of your Eurobox rack, and you install sliding doors that run on top-mounted tracks. The doors themselves can be aluminum frame polycarbonate panels, which are lightweight and let you see what's inside, or they can be plywood or MDF if you want to hide the contents.
The hardware comes from the aluminum extrusion world.
Bosch Rexroth is the name everyone goes to for this. Their aluminum framing system is basically industrial Lego. You can build a door frame that bolts directly to your rack uprights, then mount sliding door tracks from the same catalog. The cost for a full setup on a rack that's 180 centimeters wide, which is a typical three-column Eurobox rack, runs roughly 200 to 400 euros for materials.
That's doors and tracks and all the mounting hardware?
For the polycarbonate panel version, yes. If you want glass or custom powder-coated aluminum doors, it goes up from there. But the basic build is accessible to anyone with a drill and a weekend.
The downside being that sliding doors leave gaps.
Top and bottom, typically a gap of maybe 5 to 10 millimeters for the track clearance. A determined toddler can get their fingers into that gap. They probably can't pull a box out through it, but they can reach in and grab small items from the front row of boxes if the boxes are open top. So sliding doors are a barrier, not a seal. You combine them with boxes that have lids, and now the gap is irrelevant.
What about hinge doors?
Hinge doors give you a full seal. When they're closed, nothing is accessible, but they require clearance in front of the rack. You need about 60 centimeters of swing space, which in a small apartment might mean you can't put the rack in that corner after all. It's a real constraint.
You'd use child-safe hinges.
Bloom clip top hinges with the soft close feature are the gold standard. They cost about 8 to 12 euros per hinge, and they're rated for 50,000 cycles. That's decades of daily use. The soft close means the door can't slam on little fingers. And you can get versions with a 90-degree stop, so the door physically can't open wider than that, which prevents it from swinging into a walkway or hitting something else.
Mounting hinge doors on a Eurobox rack frame, though, that's custom work.
It is, but there are door kits that make it easier. Rocco and Stanley Vidmar both offer door kits for their industrial storage lines. They're designed for tool storage cabinets, but the mounting points are compatible with standard Eurobox rack dimensions because the industry has converged on similar upright spacing. You can buy a Rocco hinged door kit for about 100 to 150 euros, and it'll bolt onto most rack frames with minimal modification.
Those come with locks?
Most of them have a simple cam lock or a keyed handle. Not childproof on their own, but you add a magnetic lock on the inside of the door and now you've got childproof access. The magnetic key sticks to the outside of the metal door, triggers the latch, and you open it one-handed. That's the combination that actually works. The magnetic lock isn't on the box, it's on the door that covers all the boxes.
The door does the heavy lifting, and the magnetic lock is just the access control.
And that's the insight. The barrier does 80% of the work. The lock is the last line, not the first.
Let's talk about the aesthetic problem, because you can have the most secure Eurobox rack in the world, and if it looks like a shipping container in your living room, it's a problem.
The IKEA PAX wardrobe system is the most popular hack for this. PAX units are 200 centimeters tall, they come in various widths, and they have hinged or sliding door options that look like actual furniture. The catch is depth. PAX is 58 centimeters deep. Standard Euroboxes are 40 centimeters deep, so you've got 18 centimeters of wasted space behind the boxes.
Which some people use for cable management or storing flat items.
Or you build a false back and use the space for exactly that. But the real advantage of PAX is that the doors are childproof right out of the box. They match your other IKEA furniture, and your storage system stops looking like a storage system. It just looks like a wardrobe. You open the door, and inside is your perfectly organized Eurobox inventory.
Cost-wise, where does that land?
A PAX unit with doors, configured for a 200cm tall, 100cm wide setup, runs about 300 to 500 euros. Then you need to add Eurobox-compatible shelf inserts, or just use the standard PAX shelves. The shelves aren't designed for sliding boxes, but you can add low-friction tape or thin drawer slides if you want the boxes to pull out smoothly. Total cost, including a few magnetic locks, may be 450 euros. Build time, about 8 hours if you're doing it alone.
There's a woodworker in Germany who documented exactly this build. PAX frame, custom drawer slides, Euroboxes on the slides, magnetic locks on the doors. I saw that one.
It's a great reference build because it proves you don't need a workshop full of tools. A drill, a screwdriver, and patience.
The alternative for people who don't want to use PAX is the cabinet, within a cabinet approach. You build a shallow cabinet around the rack.
Shallow is the operative word. Eurobox racks are 40 centimeters deep. If you build a cabinet with 18mm birch plywood, your total depth is maybe 44 centimeters. That's shallower than a standard bookshelf. It fits in a hallway. You put bifold doors on the front with Blum Child Safe hinges, and the whole thing looks like a built-in cabinet. Material cost, about 150 euros if you're cutting the plywood yourself. More if you have it cut to size.
Bifold doors are interesting because they solve the swing space problem.
Bifold doors fold in half, so the clearance needed is half of what a hinged door requires. You can put this cabinet in a narrow hallway and still open it fully. The trade-off is that bifold doors are more complex to install and align, and cheap bifold hardware binds and sticks. You want to spend the extra money on good track hardware.
We've got sliding doors, hinged doors, PAX wardrobe hacks, and custom cabinets. All of these are physical barriers. But there's another layer that costs $0 and can be done this afternoon.
This is where you arrange your inventory so that even if a child gets past the first barrier, the damage is limited. The principle is simple. Heavy boxes and rarely accessed boxes go at floor level. Frequently accessed boxes go at waist height or above. Waist height for an adult is roughly 90 to 120 centimeters. A toddler can't reliably reach above 120 centimeters until they're about 3.5 or 4.
The boxes you need every day live in what is effectively a child-free zone.
The boxes at floor level are either too heavy for a child to pull out, or they contain things that aren't dangerous and aren't fragile. Blankets, packing materials, old cables. If a kid does open that box, the worst that happens is you have to repack it.
Combine that with a baby gate across the doorway to the room itself, and now you've got layered security. The gate is the perimeter. The doors on the rack are the building. The layout is the safe room.
Layered is the key word. No single solution is perfect. Sliding doors leave gaps. Magnetic locks need batteries or keys that can get lost. Hinged doors need clearance. But if you combine a closed door with a magnetic lock and a smart layout, the chance of a child getting injured drops to near zero.
There's also the step stool factor. If you use a step stool to reach the high boxes, put it away when you're done. Don't leave it next to the rack. A toddler will climb it.
That's the kind of thing that sounds obvious but gets forgotten in the moment. You're in the middle of packing orders, the stool is right there, you walk away for 30 seconds, and your kid is on the second shelf.
Let's pull this together into something actionable. If someone listening has a Eurobox rack, or is about to build one and they've got a toddler, what's the sequence?
Step 1. Anchor the rack to the wall. This is mandatory, costs $15 to $30 for a basic kit, and takes 20 minutes. If you do nothing else, do this.
Step 2. Add a physical barrier. Sliding, hinged, PAX, custom cabinet. Pick the one that fits your space and budget. This does 80% of the work.
Step 3. Add a lock to that barrier. A magnetic lock on the inside of the door is fast, cheap, and effective. Under $50. If you need higher security because you're storing tools or chemicals, use a locking bar system like the Sortum OK Motion or a simple padlock hasp.
Step 4. Arrange your layout so the most dangerous or fragile items are at adult height and the least concerning items are at floor level.
Step 5, which nobody mentions, is to check your rack manufacturer's catalog for door kits. Bott, Lista, Rocco, Stanley Vidmar. They all make door kits for their industrial lines. They're buried in the accessory section, and the sales reps don't always know about them, but they exist. If your rack is from one of these manufacturers, you might be able to buy a door that bolts right on, no DIY required.
Before you buy anything, measure your rack. Upright spacing, width, height, depth. Because the door kit that fits a bolt rack might not fit a generic one, and the magnetic lock that works on a thin steel door won't work on a thick plywood one.
That's where a lot of people get stuck. They buy the magnetic locks first because they've seen them advertised, then discover they don't work on their setup. Start with the barrier. Figure out what door or cover you're going to use. Then buy the lock that works with that door.
The EU regulatory angle is worth mentioning here. The General Product Safety Regulation, the GPSR, takes effect December 13th of this year. It's going to require enhanced safety documentation for furniture sold in the EU, including storage units. There's language in there about anchoring warnings and tip-over prevention that could apply to Eurobox racks sold for home use.
Which means manufacturers who've never thought about child safety might suddenly have to. If a Eurobox rack is sold as suitable for home office use, it might fall under the same anchoring requirements as a bookshelf or a wardrobe. That could push companies like Bott and Lista to design child-safe features from the ground up, rather than treating it as an aftermarket problem.
The regulation doesn't explicitly say every storage unit needs a child lock, but it creates a framework where if a product is foreseeably used in a home with children, the manufacturer has to address that risk in their documentation. And once you've documented the risk, the next logical step is designing it out.
I think we're going to see, within the next 2 or 3 years, a new category of storage products that are explicitly designed for home businesses with child safety as a first-class feature. Not retrofitted, not hacked together. Designed from the start with integrated locks, soft-close doors, and anchor points.
The home business market is too big to ignore. 37% growth since 2020. That's millions of people with professional inventory and small children in the same space.
For now, the best solution is the one you actually install. A $20 magnetic lock that gets used every day is better than a 400 euro cabinet system that sits in a box in the garage for 6 months because you haven't had time to assemble it.
The perfect is the enemy of the installed.
Pick something you could do this weekend. Anchor the rack, buy a door kit, or build a simple plywood door. Add a lock. Arrange your boxes by danger level. You can always upgrade later.
The peace of mind is immediate. You stop worrying every time you hear a thump from the other room.
The thump still happens. But now it's a toy falling off a shelf, not a Eurobox full of hard drives.
Let's land this with some concrete takeaways. Anchoring is mandatory. $15 to $30. Do it first.
A physical barrier, doors, or a cabinet does 80% of the work. For quick access needs, a hinged door with a magnetic lock opens one-handed in under a second and costs under $50. For higher security, tools, or chemicals, use a locking bar system or padlock hasps. The Sortum OK Motion runs 80 to 150 euros per rack section.
Design your layout so frequently accessed boxes live at 90 to 120 centimeters height, adult waist level, least accessed and heaviest boxes at floor level. This minimizes what a child can reach, even if the barrier is open.
Before buying any childproofing hardware, check your rack manufacturer's catalog for door kits. Bott, Lista, Ryko, Stanley Vidmar all make them. They're in the accessories section. If your rack is compatible, you just saved yourself a weekend of DIY.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether the storage industry is going to take this seriously or keep treating it as a niche problem. The GPSR regulation might force their hand, but regulations move slowly and toddlers move fast.
I think the market will move faster than the regulation. The first company that releases a Eurobox compatible rack with integrated child-safe doors and a reasonable price point is going to clean up. The demand is already there. Parents running businesses from home are desperate for something that doesn't look like a warehouse and doesn't require an engineering degree to childproof.
The final thought, and I think this is the one that matters most, is that the best childproofing is the one you actually install. A simple solution that's done is infinitely better than a perfect solution that's still in the planning phase. Your kid isn't going to wait for you to finish your research.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The deep purple dye used in traditional Surinamese Anjisa headscarves during the Cold War era came from the leaves of the beta tree, known scientifically as Quassia amara. The word beta entered Sranan Tango from Portuguese beta, meaning bitter, and the same tree's bark was exported to Europe for use in digestive bitters, linking Suriname's textile tradition directly to the aperitif bottles on Amsterdam cafe tables.
That is a remarkably specific chain of causation.
Textiles to aperitifs. I'll take it.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you found this useful, rate the show. It helps other parents running businesses from home find us.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.